But, you know, as we open this morning, I do think about that 2 years ago I had the opportunity to stand in this pulpit and preach on homecoming and talked about the three different types of homecoming that we have. Today, I'm going to talk about one of the most well-known stories of homecoming that we have in the scripture. But as I open, I want to read you a letter from a son to his father. I think this might be between Jason and Richie. I'm not sure. But, you know, it says, "Dear Dad, I feel miserable because I have to keep writing for money. I feel ashamed and unhappy to ask for another 100. But every cell in my body rebels. I beg on bended knee that you forgive me. Your son, Marvin. P.S. I felt so terrible I ran after the mailman who picked this up at the box at the corner. I wanted to take this letter and burn it, and I prayed that I could get it back, but it was too late." A few days later, Marvin received a letter from his father, and it said, "Your prayers were answered. Your letter never came." But, you know, we joke about that. I mean, that does sound like exactly like something Richie would write back to Jason in that regard. But really, we think about homecoming, and we think about it being a time that we return, a time that we celebrate, and a time that we recap lives and stories, and we gather and we fellowship with one another. And, you know, with Mark 5:19, I want to start there today because we think about this story, and what's surrounding that story in Mark 5 is the story of the man who had a legion of demons. You know, the one that when Jesus showed up, he said, "What is your name?" And he says, "We are legion, for we are many." And this is, the demons had possessed this man. And when Jesus shows up, he delivers the man from this legion of demons. He delivers this man from this possession that he had. And then the man begs to go with Jesus. He begs to go with Jesus. He wants to follow Jesus. And I think that that story is very resembling of each one of us today. He begs to go with Jesus because he knows the path with Jesus is going to be different than the path that he may have to take as he goes on beyond this. I mean, he has to go back and visit family and friends. And he has to go back and see others. And they're not going to believe that he's different. And we'll talk about all of this through the service today. But when he asks Jesus if he can go with him, Jesus responds with a no. Jesus tells him no. And then he gives him this order. He says, "Go home to thy friends. Tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you for again allowing us to come into your house today. We thank you for allowing us again, Lord, to just worship you in such a way. We thank you for the music. We thank you for the service we've had thus far. And Lord, we thank you for the blessings you give. Lord, I pray you just be over this service now. Let my words be your words. And Lord, let them fall not on deaf ears today. And I pray this in your holy and precious name. Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And as we come before this morning, I want you to think about something today that maybe we don't think about. Yes, we are going to go to Luke chapter 15. We are going to look at a story of a homecoming of sorts. But what we see is that Jesus required this man to have his own homecoming. He required this man to have his own homecoming in a way that maybe he wasn't expecting. This man had been living in a cave. He had been living basically under a rock because he was demonically possessed. Jesus went and found him, brought him out of the shadows, delivered him from the demons that he was facing. And then what he did then was then require of him to go back and tell others how great God was. Doesn't that sound like what we just came out of talking about being commissioned? Talking about the great commission that we are sent on to go and make disciples and tell others about how great God is. Well, what we see here is that we will come back to this moment in each one of our lives. We will come back to this opportunity that we have to share Christ with others and to share how great God has been. Sounds like homecoming to me. We come back once a year to talk about how great God has been in our lives. But as we celebrate homecoming this Sunday, what I want us to do is understand how important this is in each of our lives. How important this story in Mark chapter 5 can be to us. But I want to show us that importance. And I want us to understand how important it is. But for us to do that, I think we need to look at another story that has been shared in the gospel. the story in Luke 15 of the prodigal son. And as we come together today and we talk about this, I want us to focus not only on the story that we all know. I mean, I could say by show of hands, how many of us know the prodigal son story? I guarantee you every hand in this building goes up. How many of us know the story of a young man who fled home? I mean, in fact, many of us probably could sit there and tell us today that we've lived it. But I want to tell you today that we need to understand who we are in Christ, who we are in God, before we can understand exactly what Jesus is telling this man to go back home and do. I want us to take a look at this great homecoming story of the prodigal son. I want us to really focus on it, and I want to break it down in a way that maybe you've not thought of before. So turn with me to Luke chapter 15, and let's take a look at this story. I want to start in verse 11. We'll read 11 through 24 to open. And it's part of the story that we all know. It says, "And he said, a certain man hath two sons. The younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided it among unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." Now I want to stop there as we talk about this morning. And in this section, I want to talk about two views of homecoming that we can see just in that part of the story. In fact, this is typically where we stop with the story of the prodigal son. And we talk about how great a homecoming it must have been for that son and for the father. But what we see is that we can see two people in this story that we can relate to. Two people that we have often probably thought of and related to in many ways. First, we see the prodigal son. We see the son who is tired of the same old way of life. He's tired of the daily grind. He's tired of exactly everything that seems pretty typical in his life. He wanted to change. He wanted to experience something new. He refused in many ways to hold on to the things that he already had. Now, if we look at this story, we realize that this son neglected to see all the blessings that he already had in his life and the blessings that his future held. In fact, he goes against everything that he was ever taught in life. And he goes to his father and he says, Dad, I want all of my belongings. I want you to split your estate right down the middle. Give me what belongs to me and let me go. How many of us do that today? How many of us have gone to God and said, just give me what I want and let me go on my merry way? Just give me everything that belongs to me and let me just spend my life doing what I wish to do. You know, there's a couple of things that we can see that relate us to him in this story. One is that he refused to believe that he had everything he needed. He refused to believe that his life was good just as it was. He felt the need for more. He felt the need to experience something that he couldn't experience at home. He had a roof over his head. You know, we sang it before Sunday school. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. A roof over his head, shoes on his feet. He had everything he needed. He had clothes on his back. He had the promise of a life that was taken care of and the promise of an inheritance that was still being built. And instead, he said, "Dad, let's just cut it off where it's at, divide it 50-50, give me what belongs to me, and let me go." And so he went. You know, that's where we start to see the second thing that relates us to the prodigal son today. And that second thing is this, that he wanted to experience the world. He wanted to experience everything that seemed so great on the other side of the fence. We talk about the grass being greener on the other side of the fence, but the truth is once you get into it, you start to realize that that grass is just as brown as what was on your side. Or maybe they're just the same shade of green. Or maybe it's not as green as you thought it was. Could maybe be the light reflecting in a certain way. But what we see is the second thing is that he desired to experience the world in a way that he could do what he wanted. Each of us have that desire today, and to be honest with you, that desire within us can tear us apart at the seams. It can rip us apart at our heart because we have this torn feeling. We have this feeling that we need to go and do. We need to go and experience that we can't be a great Christian unless we have lived a life and given ourselves that testimony. Well, I'm going to tell you, your testimony starts and ends at the cross of Jesus Christ. That testimony doesn't begin because you were able to live in the world and come out of it. Yes, some of us have that testimony. Some of us have the testimony of a life that was lived for the world, a life that was lived for selfish gain, a life that was lived with drugs and alcohol and whatever it might be. But you can't look at someone else's testimony today and feel bad about your own because you have your story to tell too. You know, we're not all the demon-possessed man that was living in a cave that Jesus delivered and told to go home and tell of how great God is. But we do have stories of how great God is in our life today. We have stories like the prodigal son. We have stories like the demon-possessed man. We have stories maybe just like Peter, who was pretty much there. But we'll continue talking about other stories that we could have through this, but what I want you to see is that we already have what we need, but we're impatient and we take it and go. We get impatient, we run, we feel that we have to have immediate gratification. The worst thing that has ever happened to this generation, and today's generation is going to be the worst for it, is this immediate gratification feeling that they have to have everything now. It has to be at your fingertips. If you don't believe me, grab a cell phone. You can look up anything within a matter of seconds. If you don't think instant gratification isn't something that we feel the need for in the world today, look at the world today. Everything we have, we want to get now. Everything we see, we're not willing to wait for it. You know, you can see that in sexual immorality. You can see that in cell phones and materialism. You can see that in all relationships anymore. Kids want to take from their parents and go. They want to go buy what they can. Credit gives you that example. I need a new car. I need it right now. I don't need it in 10 weeks. I don't need it in 2 years when I can finally save up enough for it. I want it now, so I'm going to take this little piece of plastic. I'm going to slide it. And I'm going to build up this credit, which is also debt, just for those of you that may not understand. And as you build up that credit, so to speak, what you're really doing is tearing your life apart at the seams in some ways. Because you're paying for things with money you don't have in hopes that you will be able to pay that back over time. But in many cases, as we see with devastation that's around us today, in many cases, it's just like the prodigal son. You've gone and spent too much before you had it to spend. And then something happens, you lose your job. You come into a financial crisis. Maybe, you know, something comes along that you need to pay for a little more important than that vehicle that you did purchase or whatever the case might be. You know, and there's many examples of what leads us to that today. But what we see is simply this, that this is the way that we want to live life. We live like the prodigal son in many ways. And why? Because the world tells us that life is not worth the wait. The world tells us that things, that the great things of life are not worth waiting on. They're worth taking now, seizing the moment and gripping it away from where it's at. The world tells us that we need this now. We are not good enough if we don't have this or that. We're not good enough if we don't live a certain way. We're not good enough. That's what the world wants you to believe. I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus Christ died on a cross and said, I'm doing this because you are good enough. I'm doing this because you are worth this. I'm doing this because the best things in life are worth waiting for. But they see this need for instant relief, this need for instant satisfaction. And we've seen it since the day of Adam and Eve. They couldn't wait on the day that they could spend life with God. They had to eat from the tree that they were told not to eat from. And why? Because of that desire to have something that they needed in their own mind. But I'll tell you today that wants and needs are two different things. And when we learn to discern the difference in those, we start to see our life fall into place a little bit better. So do you relate to the prodigal son today? Can you relate to the story of this young man who decided he was done? He decided he needed everything and to go get what he wanted in the world, and he squandered it. He wasted it. He gave it. He threw money at things that he didn't need to throw money at, things that didn't give him any return. And he wasted his life. He threw away everything he had for everything he wanted. He threw away the things that he needed for the things that he desired. And coming to terms with this desire within you today is something that you today need to understand, that we can relate to the prodigal son in that we are willing to throw away everything when it comes to the battle that goes on within us. The second character that we find in this story that we can relate to today might be the father. Now, this may relate more to parents today than any, but you understand where the father is. We see a man who reluctantly gives half of what he owns. He reluctantly divides his estate down the middle and gives it to a son who is not willing to listen. By show of hands, parents, how many of you feel like your kids aren't willing to listen today? Really? You don't have to raise them, because I know your kids are probably sitting next to you and you probably don't want to have that fight later. But the truth is how many of us today feel that we're not being listened to? We know that what we want for our children is right. We know that what we want for our children is good. And we know that if they'll just wait, they'll have something that's better than what they think they desire at that moment. They don't need the biggest and the best. They don't need the newest. But in their mind, that's all they want. They desire it. They want it. They want it now. You see where I'm going with this? We relate to the father. The father was giving all he had, and then he had to basically sit back and watch his son as he walked away. Watch his son as he leaves the fold. Watch his son as he leaves the comforts of home. Parents, this might relate to you a little more when you think about in a church sense of raising a child in the church and seeing them walk away and go their own direction, whether it be to a new church or just to experience the world. Really, this story of the prodigal son relates to us on so many levels. It's not even something that we have ever thought about. But we start to see that they leave the comforts of the church. They experience the real world. They get that taste of freedom. And they start to think, hey, I can do this. They start to explore. They start to venture out. And the parents are sitting back and they're wondering why. They don't understand why this child has decided to go their own way. Why this child has decided to leave. But what they feel, they just wish that the child had waited on how great things could have been. They just wish that this child had waited on that moment where they could experience how wonderful life was. And likely this father was praying daily for the safe return. praying daily that this child would come to his senses and understand that the world wasn't all it was cut out to be. Understand that the world wasn't necessarily where he needed to be in life. In fact, he was doing this for a child who had basically turned his back. A child who had basically ran away from home in such a way. And then what we see is that the father, upon the return of the son, didn't give him time to get home. He met him. Met him on the road. He hugged his neck. Told him he loved him. Gave him a robe. Gave him a ring. Gave him the fatted calf. Gave him everything. Parents, how many of you have extended that to your children today when they've come home? How many of you have reacted in such a way that you do give back to the child? Even though they've wasted it all, you've given back. Because you've wanted them to see the love that God also has for them. But this isn't where the story ends. This is not where the story of the prodigal son ends. Too many times we stop it there when we're in church and we talk about how great the love of God is for us. And we talk about that the son has finally come home and we relate it, saying, well, you need to come back home. You need to welcome yourself back into the homecoming as the prodigal returning home. But I want you to relate to these characters today. But there's a third character that I would venture to say many of us relate to today. And we've never even thought of it. There's a third character that many of us have started to relate to in such a way that we've never even experienced it because we've never viewed it in this way today. You know, the prodigal returned home, faced his demons, finally faced himself, forgave himself, and got up enough courage to go back to the Father and ask for forgiveness. And we do that when we come into the church. We finally get up enough courage to pray for the demons that we've faced in our life. To release ourselves from those enough to forgive ourselves and come forward and give our life to Christ and give our life to the Father. The Father, many of us have experienced it, and that's why God designed us to be parents. He wants us to know the love He has for us, and there's no greater love on this earth that we can imagine than the love of a parent for a child. If you don't believe me, ask someone that is a parent. I've heard it many times. Myself, I've not experienced it, but I do understand that love in a way of when I sat in the room with my sister after her firstborn, and the love that you have for a child that honestly just made its way into the world. Anyone who has blood relation to that child experiences this love. They experience this feeling that overwhelms them because it's a creation that they had a part in. All of a sudden, this love becomes something that is great. This love is unexplained, and there's nothing you wouldn't do to make sure that that child had everything he or she needed. But then we see the story that we all relate to. And go back to Luke chapter 15. And let's go back to verse 25. And let's see this story today that we probably relate to in more ways than we know. Starting in verse 25, it says, "Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and he drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he became angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to the father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living in harlots, and thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found." How many of us today relate to this older brother? You sit here today and maybe you think you don't, but let me point it out to you where you might. Folks, if we really look at the story of the prodigal son, we realize that it's like the church. We have God the Father, the one who is giving us everything. We have those in the church who have decided to go their own way, who've decided to make their own life out in the world. They've taken the inheritance and they've squandered it. They've pushed it away and they've decided that they do not need God. They just need what God gives. But eventually that well runs dry. Eventually that moment is over. Eventually we run out of things to experience in the world and those things are taken from us. The story of the prodigal. And eventually the prodigal does come back home. And then we have the older brother who has always been here. Maybe the one that was raised in the church. Maybe the one that's been in the church since the beginning. Maybe the one who has experienced everything. And they get angry. They get angry because they see the prodigal come home. And they see how joyful God is over the one who was lost, who has made his way home. And they refuse to experience the joy with them. Are you like the older brother today? Think about it. Upon his brother's return, the father asked the son to go in and greet his brother, and he says no. He refuses to go in. He even blames the father and says, "You've never given me anything like you just gave him. You've never given me the fatted calf. You've never allowed me to experience life with my friends. You've never allowed me to experience anything." And the father is saying, why? You know, what I see in this story of the older brother is someone who is moping about the fact that he didn't have because he never left. And he's forgetting that he already has everything he needs. The father reminds him that he has everything he needs. And in fact, I would venture to say that we all relate to this older brother in more ways than we even know. How many times have we seen someone who has lived in the world become blessed with something? They receive something or they seem to have more money than you. They seem to have a bigger house than you. They seem to have a better life than you. But you forget that maybe that's just surface things. You forget that maybe they don't have it any better than you do at all. Because you've already been given the rest of the inheritance. Think about that. This brother is upset because his brother has come home and all the father did was throw a party because one had returned. That younger brother was not going to get another cent of the father's inheritance. He was not going to get another tract of land. He was not going to get anything else because he had already taken that inheritance. The older brother had everything that the father had. Everything that he could look around and see. Every bit of land, every bit of money, the house, the servants, all of that belonged to the older brother upon the father's death. It was his inheritance. And everything that was continuing to be built belonged to the older brother, which by now is more than likely more than what the younger brother took. Because as the father's wealth continued to build, the older brother didn't realize that he was given more than the younger brother because he didn't ask for it and take it with him. He didn't realize the blessings that were at his fingertips. In fact, a big deal was made for all of us when we came back. A big deal has been made for us when we've been born into it or whether we returned to it. And that big deal was made in heaven. The rejoicing for one who had come home. And the father tried his best to explain that to the older son. But what we see is that his response is simply this: everything is already yours. Just come and rejoice that what was lost has been found. What was once lost has returned. Your brother is no longer in the world. Your brother is no longer living in sin. He has come safe and sound back to my home. He's come back to us. Look at the love of God today in this story. Look at the love of the Father And let's look at how we relate with this story today. Number one, are you the prodigal who takes an inheritance, cuts losses, doesn't mind, just goes, runs? We do this on a regular basis. We stray away from the fold of God because we don't understand what is there for us. Just like the prodigal son, we always come back with remorse. We always come back with grief. We come back and we repent of our sins. We repent of the things we've done. And the Father is ready, willing, and able to throw us a party, to throw us a feast, and welcome us home with open arms, knowing that we're truly repentant of what we have done. And He welcomes us back to the fold and asks no questions. He puts the past in the past and He moves forward. You see, the Father met His Son on the road. But then there's many of us, like the older brother, who are so willing to point out the past of someone else that we can't see the forest for the trees. We're so willing to point out something that someone's done that we regret, that we refuse to willingly let them go back to the fold. We refuse to let them back in the doors because we get so wrapped up in where they've been that we forget that the love of God is the same for them as it was for us. The blood of Christ was the same for them that it is for us today. They come back. They finally repent. They finally give themselves over. And the thing that we've been praying for them to do for many years, the thing that we've been praying and pleading with them to do, we now want to hold over their head because of the past that they had before they did it. Folks, we run people out of the church today because we're so willing to remind them of who they were instead of explain to them who they now are. Amen. When we look at homecoming, which one are you? Who are you today? We must realize that God is the Father. We must realize that He has given us the same promise, whether we're the younger or the older son. We realize today we've been given everything that we needed and that the inheritance is ours. You know, the true beauty of what God has done for us today is this. We're dealing with a story of those who, you know, if we go back to the story of the workers in the field and we see that the same wage was given to the first worker who started maybe at 8 in the morning and the same who started maybe at 4 in the afternoon, we start to realize that that wage is the same because the inheritance of God is infinite. It's the kingdom. It's eternal life. It's everything we've been promised and more. That it never stops building. But we can cut ties, we can run, and we can fall away. But He stands right there at the top of the hill. He runs out to meet us and He welcomes us with open arms as a prodigal who has returned home. There's a fourth character in the story that I didn't mention. And there are many of us today who need to be more like them. You know, the older brother didn't want to see them return. He wanted to remind him of his past and he wanted to never let go of what the Father was forgiving. The servants, however, joined in. They joined in the party. They joined in the festivities. They joined in the feast and they joined in and rejoiced for the return of one who was lost. So maybe we need to quit acting like that older sibling and start acting like a servant. Start realizing that when we serve, we start to realize the reward just a little bit better. We start to see exactly how things are. You know, in other words, this story deals with two sons that are lost. And I know that's hard to see. You've got the younger son who obviously was lost. But the older son is a little bit lost too. Because he doesn't want to let go of the past of someone else. And it's ruining his future because he's not partaking in the kingdom. He's not partaking in the feast that's to take place with the rejoicing of one who was lost because he wants to hold the past against them. So maybe we don't need to be like any of those characters. The Father, who's God, welcoming them home, Maybe we don't need to be like either of the sons. Maybe we do need to be more like the servants today. Maybe we do need to be more like the fourth character that we never see mentioned. The servants who rejoiced because the lost one had been found. A lost one had come home, and they welcomed them home for his homecoming. Today, who are you? Are you complacent with this world? Do you want to move on? Do you want to see something happen in your life so bad that you're willing to take it? Who do you relate to? Are you so wrapped up in what someone else has done that you can't see your own life before you? Are you so wrapped up in the past that they have that you forget that they have the same promise you do, and you forget that they've been forgiven by the blood of Christ just as you have? Or are you like the servant today, rejoicing because the lost has come home, experiencing the kingdom and the victory with the Father, celebrating in the feast of the King, the feast of the fatted calf, the feast that you have now been given? So which one are you today? Are you living your life squandering away those things that you have that pull you farther away from God? Do you have everything at your fingertips and don't see it because you're so wrapped up in your own selfish wants and desires? The Father loves both sons the same, just as much as He loves the servants that He is called to enjoy the feast with Him. I want to remind you of this as we close on this homecoming. In this life, we are not called to live like the world. In fact, we are called to live in the world while living like Christ. So let this same mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. He thought it not robbery to be equals with God, but yet humbled himself to obedience, even the point of obeying his Father in a death on the cross. If you let that same mind be in you today, our view of homecoming, we can realize that this is a deliverance story, and that each one of us will have that deliverance story today. And it can start right here, right now. It can start with you walking the aisle and letting go of everything in your past. Or maybe it could start with you walking the aisle and letting go of everything in someone else's past. But it starts right here. It starts with the homecoming today. And what better day than this than to do it? And by that I mean today, not homecoming. If you have a question about your salvation today, don't leave this building without knowing who Christ is to you. Without knowing that His blood saved you. Just as it saved each one sitting in these pews. And we must rejoice, for a lost one has come home. So as we come and we sing today, as we come up and we fellowship through this, I want you to understand that you do have a deliverance story. And no, it may not be the same as Joe's. It may not be the same as Lamar's. It may not be the same as mine. But you do have a deliverance story. What have you been delivered from? Think about Mark 5:19. Christ has delivered you from the demons in your life. He's delivered you from the things that have held you back for so long. He has delivered you from everything that has brought you to the point you're at today. He's delivered you from that destructive behavior. He's delivered you from who you've been. And He gives you this opportunity today to follow Him. But first, He wants you to go back home, to tell your own people all the good things that God has done for you today, and rejoice in the mercy and the compassion that He has shown you. Okay, if you'll come, we'll turn to number 149 in the hymn books. But today, come. Don't hesitate to give yourself to Christ if that's what you need to do. Number 149, please stand with us. We'll sing first and last.
please come if you must, come if you need to, but don't leave here today without knowing the blessings of God in your life.